The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
Yo, what is going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down, episode 172. I'm your host, Tony Polanco, which I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
Sup, people? It is Thursday.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's going on, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo, yo, yo.
Brian Manjoma.
Wakanda forever.
Brett Murdoch.
Can't do a Brian impression because Brian's actually here.
That's true. And Adam Vale, man.
This World Cup's going to suck. No Netherlands, no U.S., no Italy. What the hell is going on?
Man, they don't even got none of the good countries, man.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, what is happening? Are you kidding me?
Yo, by the way.
An island didn't make it? Yeah. Are you kidding me?
All right, just quickly, I want to apologize for not being on camera again because my internet's being stupid. Check this out. So I'm supposed to get minimum 200 download, right? For the past 2 days, 3 days, actually, I've been getting, if I'm lucky, three. I'm not even in double digits, people. This shit is crazy.
You're supposed to be getting minimum 200 asterisk, which you're getting.
Yeah. You reset your modem, right?
I don't even know how to do that shit.
You should do that, because when they do maintenances, sometimes the modem needs to reset. And if it doesn't manually, automatically reset, you have to reset it.
This is the company one. I don't know if I am even allowed to.
Yeah, you can reset it. You just unplug it for 20 seconds.
I did that shit.
Let it flush out.
I did that shit.
You did do a reset.
Yeah. I didn't know reset was just unplugging. Yeah, I unplugged it for a minute. You know, because you know how you reset your cable box.
What about your PC?
PC reset it too. Oh yeah.
Okay.
Hey, by the way, I might lose power because there's a thunderstorm.
Oh shit! That means we better start then, man. All right.
Did you go to the bandwidth.net just to test your speed, just to make sure?
Well, that's how I know that I'm getting shitty ass speeds. That's how I know. Like, my uploads are still the same. They're like 11, nearly 12. They're the same. But again, I usually clock in at 240, right? The shit's been literally one or three for the last couple of days.
Something else is going on.
And you know what's going to happen if I call? You know what's going to happen if I call, right? They're going to go, hey, why didn't you sign up for the 400 Mbps? No. Well, actually, get the fuck out of here.
I was actually in your area earlier today, and I was having trouble with the cable there.
Yeah.
Yes, there is an outage in your area.
Oh, maybe that's why. Maybe I'm lucky I should be on right now.
They're having lots of issues. My mom was having quite a bit of problems, and not to mention the box just all of a sudden to stop working.
I guess it's something. By the way, for you guys who don't know, Manny lived really close to me, but it's still far enough away. So it's a pretty large area that's been affected. Then, if that's the case, because that's a different zip code, you know.
Oh yeah,
yeah. But they usually put them together in one zone.
Yeah,
something like that.
But luckily, my upload has been affected, so we're good. And like, here's the thing. I never said this to you guys or on air, but the upload that I put it at is actually way lower than I could put it up higher. But since Throwdown, we don't need too much. I just use a bare minimum, you know, and it still looks good, you know.
It looks better than it did. Let's just be honest. It looked better than it did on the
just straight on YouTube. That's right.
Yeah, straight on YouTube. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, I should say that. By the way, vamping a little bit because we have enough topics. They're not too meaty. Mm-hmm. Throwdown was not affected by the Twitter the YouTube apocalypse shit or whatever. We're still monetized. We're still good. And as a matter of fact, remember how we were telling you guys that they haven't been paying us for a while? That money magically started rolling in this week, you know?
Yeah, like, they just went, oh, shit, we left all this in there.
You know? So they're trickling in there. So, yeah, if you guys want to give to the Super Chat.
Yeah, if you want to give it a super chat, we got to do some special stuff for it.
Do have something to mention at the end of the show. Again, I wish I had my camera, because even if I did have my camera, it's still backwards because of YouTube. But I'm going to have some for you guys tomorrow. But before that, let me give a quick shout out to everybody who's in here. We got Faisal, got All Day, Studio Bad Guy. I've never seen that name before. Wiz.
That's a new one.
Yeah, Life and Times Podcast, our boy Wiz. What's up? Daniel. What's up, Wiz? Oh, Daniel J., our sugar daddy.
Whoa.
You know, Mighty Nerd, you know, a longtime fan, Hussein, my man right there, you know, and Carlos holding it down, man. All right. So that's enough vamping. I think we can start the actual show. So this is interesting. This actually came down the pipeline, I believe, yesterday. And I figured it would be a good topic because, you know, let's just be honest, Xbox shit gets us hits. I don't know why we by the way, we caught some heat last week because Manny was hosting the show last week because the MTA was fucking up, and he, you know, you got, not you personally, but the show caught some heat over that title because some people took it seriously.
Yeah, nobody got that, the fact that I was fucking trolling you. I'm not known for trolling, but I do troll sometimes.
Yeah.
And the only way, if you actually, any of you, obviously you guys are watching the show, but you got to understand, like, that is also kind of goofing on the fact of the how the Xbox One X essentially, you know, the Xbox in general, all of Xbox in general, beat the PlayStation Pro.
No, Xbox One X.
Beat out the PlayStation Pro. So officially, if it was by an Xbox, it would probably be like, oh my god, we won.
Yeah. By the way, there's Daniel J. Man, I love you, brother. Thank you for the super chat,
dude. Thanks a lot. So yeah, that was me trolling you guys, and obviously somebody fell for the trap because I'm sure that motherfucker didn't even watch the damn
he didn't
episode.
Oh, if he would have watched the episode,
we're actually really quite nice to.
No, we were fair and balanced with that topic. We, you know, we mentioned the problem, you know, the problems that we saw. We mentioned it's like, oh yeah, it's okay, but not great. And Tony was like, after the thing, he's like, yo, motherfucker.
Yeah,
that ain't great.
Yeah. By the way, we Carlos got into it with a guy on Sunday because when I came in and gave my thoughts, this one guy got pissed.
Yeah.
but obviously he didn't get mad at me. He got mad at all of us because got to spread the hate. You know.
You gotta spread the hate, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Carlos. What happened between this dude, man? I didn't even heard of this guy before. You know.
Yeah, we got blamed for bashing on Microsoft.
Oh,
I mean,
bashing. All right.
Yeah, I disagreed, but at least the conversation was civil, so I appreciate that.
Okay, you know, I'm at least glad it didn't turn. See, I feel like once a conversation online starts to turn into venomous name calling and stupid shit like that, to me, I think that person is already just off the rails, and they don't even need to deserve to be treated seriously when it starts to become like, oh, well, you're an asshole, or you were this, or you were that.
Oh, here comes the hammer. I'll stop right now.
Point to put out a PSA to everybody on Twitter, on any gaming forum, on Reddit, on any of this shit. Here's a little something I want you to keep in mind next time your fingers touch keys. If you're being an asshole, it doesn't matter how right you are. Nobody's going to admit that you're right because you're an asshole.
Bam.
You can't you can't come at somebody hot and prove your point at the same time. It just doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, hold on just quickly. Yeah, Hussein, the Xbox One X outsold the Pro. Make that clear. Go ahead, Carlos.
Yeah, so when we got blamed for Xbox bashing, I just replied and I'm like, "Oh, so I don't think so." Then I gave him reasons and we just got into a conversation on why, about just his preferences and his thoughts on PlayStation and stuff like that. So, hey, sometimes, like, I didn't agree, but hey, at least I could understand where this person's coming from. And that's, I wish a lot of conversations went like that.
The sad thing about it is that it's sad that these things just de-evolve into these kind of horror zones where it's like, it just becomes a battle of, you know, a battle as opposed to a civil conversation. And the funny thing is that I feel like, if people like this were having those sorts of battles like that, if they're in the same location or while talking live at the same time, or, you know, instead of, you know, writing in fucking Twitter comments or whatever, I definitely think there could be a people say things, don't say certain things to each other's faces that they would say in real life. Some people.
Yo, you know what I'm going to do? You know, not to get too crazy about this. I've seen some articles talking about how, you know, like you should start barking at white people if they speak out of turn. I think I'm going to start barking at just general stupid people if they get out of turn. You know, you say something, you know, like my man Mabaku, you know what I'm saying? Hur, hur. Fuck out of here with that bullshit, man.
Oh,
anyway, let's start the show here. So, yeah, we're talking about Xbox. So, Phil Spencer, he was on... Where the fuck was it? DICE? Yeah, Carlos was talking about that before the show. So they got DICE going on right now, you know, whatever the hell DICE stands for. And he gave like a 45-minute speech about a variety of things about like, the, you know, how Xbox, Microsoft needed a reboot, inclusivity, and all that other jazz, you know. So I want to, you know, get you guys' thoughts on this. I mean, I kind of specifically want to target the toxicity he mentioned, because I'm like, and I know I'm going to catch heat for this, but I need to say it, man. I find it funny that he's calling this shit out when some of the biggest perpetrators of this stuff are his own fan base, man. You got, you know who I'm talking about over on the Xbox community who just
he's got no control over that, though.
No, he doesn't. And
of course, he has no control over that, but at the same time, it's like, We're preaching about inclusivity and all that wonderful stuff, and it's great. But at the same time, you are also giving these guys that these venomous sort of people attention.
Yes, and he talks to some of them.
Do you want him to say? Because people bitch if he doesn't bring up any of this stuff. Oh, he's
This has nothing to do with bringing it up. It's the fact that it's essentially sounds like a double-sided comment. Because again, he appeared with these certain sort of people, you know, essentially justifying what they said. Now, I would say that. You know, unless he's incredibly ignorant and doesn't know what these people talk about, or he's just essentially saying these things just, you know, I feel like it's a little bit of a weird situation. I could see if he was just totally somewhat disconnected from everything, but he's not. I mean, you send these certain sort of venomous people, I don't know, review copies of certain games. What does that tell you?
Yeah, again, we're not calling anybody out, but I just find it funny because I'm going to say this. I'm just being really, really honest right now, right? A lot of this whole, like, for the lack of a better term, Adam, I'm not talking about you right now, right? Just getting that out there. A lot of these bro gamers, right, started out on Xbox. You never really had those type of gamers before that. Maybe you did, but really started on Xbox. It fostered this whole mentality of, like we talked about on Sunday, the, you know, the testosterone driven, you know, alpha male type of, you know, gamer shit, Mountain Dew swilling guys and shit. All that came from Xbox, right?
So I think that stuff was there. It's just no one paid attention. I mean, we've always had competitors, and when it comes to competition, different consoles, and someone always picked whether they liked Genesis more than they liked PlayStation or Nintendo or something. It was always there. It's just now that we're in the age of social media, that voice is louder.
You're talking about two different things. I'm talking about like the mentality of the specific gamer. Like, I'm not talking about console wars. Even though
this isn't their first console. You know what I mean? This isn't their first console.
Oh, no, but...
Made their choice.
Yeah, but I'm thinking some of these guys came to puberty along with it. But again, you know, maybe I'm kind of just fucking up the whole thing. But basically, my point is, like, a lot of these guys reside on the Xbox side of it. So I find it kind of ironic that Phil Spencer's trying to call that out. I'm like, I doubt they did it directly. But even guys like Aaron Greenberg, they kind of, you know, that whole type of mentality, they did nurture it to an extent. So I just find it very funny that they're the ones that are now trying to say, oh, no, that shit is bad now. You know, I remember reading. Yeah, go ahead. No, I was just quickly. I remember doing my little research here. There was an article from, you know, I know it's from Kotaku, but it's got the right from Kotaku. They were saying that they felt that a lot of the interface of just using Xbox, right, even 360, they were like, yeah, this thing is kind of geared towards like, you know, like bro gamers, not really geared towards me. So Xbox definitely fostered that, the whole competitive, we're winning, you're number two, we're number one type of stuff, you know? Anyway, go ahead.
I was just going to say, maybe it's not as much hypocritical as a soft-handed approach at reprimanding their own player base. I mean, what are you going to do, come out and tell your own player base to be less toxic? No, you kind of come out and remind everybody that everybody should be treated fairly. You know, it's kind of a way of making a public service announcement that, you know, it should affect your own player base, but not doing so by acting with hostility or calling your player base toxic. You're just focusing on the behavior. And so maybe they're not talking about other people as much as they're talking about their fans.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, I definitely think it was a hard position that Phil Spencer was put in, well, in particular Phil Spencer, because his whole shtick when he came into this whole thing as when he took over Don Matrick was that he's sort of the person that talks to the gamers, that kind of interacts with everybody and is part of the community. And when a huge section of your community is sort of does like all these toxic things, it's hard to kind of disassociate with them, especially when they're supporting your console. So it's, I understand how it can be
different than politicians. They do the same shit. You know, it's like you can't really attack it. They're aware of it. They can try to address it, you know, as like a sidestep, because I mean, they don't want to upset their base too much. I mean, they're aware of it. They know. That's why he doesn't reply to so many of them. They're constantly, if you see any of his comments, and I mean, everyone's like, yeah, right, Sped, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And he's not cheering them on. He's not egging it on. He's just going silent. He knows it's too much. And I mean, he sees it as a business, as a businessman. He's not seeing it as like a game of like, yeah, you're right, we're the best. Yeah, go drink some dew.
Yeah, that's what Aaron Greenberg does, you know. But I kind of agree with you, Adam, for the most part. Like, he knows about it, but at the same time, he doesn't want to alienate his people. You know what I'm saying?
They want to clean up their image, but they don't want to alienate their consumers. And that I understand. Like, especially if they're like, look, we catered the Mountain Dew Dorito thing a little too hard. We're trying to pull the brand away from that.
We can't, man. I love the dude. Come on, Code Red for life.
You know?
Yo, man, I don't understand how people like that kind of stuff, man.
Dude, Mountain Dew is awesome. Oh, my God.
I hate Mountain Dew is fucking trash, man. But anyway, by the way,
Pepsi is trash. I'll drink the
grab. What? I'm kicking you right on the
Pepsi is trash.
Pepsi.
Papa John's is trash.
Papa John's is trash. Let's just be real, though.
Papa John's is trash.
By the way, quick shout out to my man.
Here's the thing. Every single pizza place is trash.
Every single one of them is trash.
New Yorkers, dude.
Compared
to the original Rays. There's only one. That shit never got franchised.
It's not the original Rays either. What's the name, name of it?
The original Rays is 11th, and then the real pizza is Ralph's, which is downtown in Little Italy.
Yeah, that's the real one.
Yeah. You're right. By the way, quick shout out to my man Paris chilling in the comments over there. But yeah, I think
Lily.
I think you guys hit it on the head. He's trying to maybe, you know, like, I guess curtail the behavior of his own fan base without actually directly calling them out. And I think that's smart. That's actually a pretty smart move. Here's the thing. I'm going to be honest right now. I've had a lot of fans who these are the pony fans, let's just be real, who want me to call out Phil Spencer more. I think Phil Spencer's a good guy. I think he does a good job, you know, with what he has to deal with. You know what I'm saying? So I ultimately think, you know, him trying to clean up, you know, the Xbox's fan space acts is a good thing. So I can't, but again, I just find it funny that I'm like, okay, you have to do this because your own fans started acting up like this years ago and gave gamers this specific type of image, you know, because before gamers were just like the dudes hanging out in basements. Now they're just like the dudes pounding Mountain Dews and shit, you know, it's interesting, man.
But that reduces the value of the asset that is Xbox Live. I mean, you don't want it to become known as the hostile, you know, home nest of misogynists and internet creepers, you know, especially when you're looking at a console for a teenager, which is their main demographic. Yes, an autonomous teenager at the upper end of the spectrum, but still living under somebody else's roof. You know, a big part of their player base is, you know, between the ages of 14 and 21 kind of deal. So they really have to make sure that they toe that line, especially for the younger end of that, to, you know, you don't want your casual supermarket Walmart mom being like, oh, that's the one that has all those really nasty people online. I'm not going to get you that one. Like, that's the last thing that they want. So I think that they're smart to be addressing this before it becomes an issue, before it becomes ingrained in the zeitgeist, as we like to kind of talk about on this show sometimes. So it's smart, and it's smart for them not to be doing this huge campaign against their own players. That's essentially what spawned Gamergate. So, I think that it's one of those like, well, shit, we really don't want to let this kind of behavior go on, but what can we do about it? you know, we can just make a statement saying that you shouldn't be a hateful dick, and that should be pretty self-evident, and that applies to everybody. And hopefully it won't get too misinterpreted. Of course it's going to, but
you know,
it seems like the most appropriate response. And so I got to say, like, well played, Phil Spencer, on this one. Like, tactfully played, if this is indeed the case.
You know, you guys want to say anything else about the toxicity part? Because I do want to talk about the other part where he basically said that, you know, well, anyway, I'll get to it. Anyway, do you guys want to add anything more to that?
I'm gonna take that. I think everything was said that it would need to be said.
Yeah, so, yeah, anyway, Phil, that's a good point. I think Brett hit it right there. He also said this. Okay, this is something we all assumed, but he's flat out said it. He said after, let's just be honest here, the failure of the launch of Xbox, that morale at Microsoft was pretty low, you know? And they were like, okay, we need to start doing new things here. And then obviously when he came along, he did start doing it. Because remember, let's just be real here. When Xbox first started, you didn't know what the hell you were buying. You were basically buying an all-encompassing machine, the one, right? You were buying the one, right? Phil took over. He was like, this is a gaming console, right? So he turned that shit around. Like, yes, I understand he... you know, had to fucking cancel a bunch of games and shit, which never looks good, but I could understand as a business guy why he maybe needed to do that. Again, like we talked about on the last episode, the gaming division is not Microsoft's priority, you know, so they could afford those cuts or whatever. So yeah, he said that morale was low and they really needed to, you know, redo their image and stuff. And I believe he also talked about how they're still in that process. You know, this goes back to what we were talking about on Sunday. You know, so what do you guys make of that?
It was trying to do too much. You know, the Xbox One just wanted to do everything, wanted to be the all-in-one box in your living room. And it was just too much too soon. It was too ambitious and too crazy. I mean, now people, like before, they were bitching, oh, always online. No, I don't want that. Almost every top game right now is always online. You know, that's just part of that's just how things evolved. So it's just... it sucks. It was just the wrong time for a lot of stuff. Some should have never came back. The Kinect should have, fine. You want to enforce that, whatever, but have a different SKU. Remember, there was talks it was going to have a separate SKU for it. They didn't do that. Maybe if they did that, things would have been different, you know, because there would have been a $400 one and then a $500 one with the Kinect. They didn't do that. So they shot themselves in the foot just trying to do too much. Remember the movie studio and doing all that? Whatever happened to the Halo TV show?
Oh, shit. That's right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, they were really trying to push it as like this Omega box, you know, and it didn't work. And the fact that it was so big and nasty looking, I was like, what the hell? How could you go backwards? How could you go from the 360 Slim, which was awesome, to this shit? You know, it's like, didn't you
learn from with a power brick, nonetheless.
You know,
what the fuck? Oh, are you kidding me? It's like as if like a whole other crew from another country came and says, "Hey, don't worry, we got you. We're doing the one." You know, and then when they came out, it's like, "Yo, what's all this? This doesn't look like what we had before." Oh, sorry, we never saw you did a little one. You did a little one? When'd you do that? You know, we're not from this area. You know, how did they not see that? It was bad. It was a horrible launch, and it just really hurt them. You know, people don't understand. It's like, yeah, they were able to play the long game, which is what they're doing now with the X and all that stuff. But for most companies, this would have been it. If this was a movie, forget about it. Studio would have been closed. Actors would have been fired. You know what I mean? Like contracts.
Man, that's some real shit right there, you know?
That's it. It would have been done. But because they have such deep pockets, because like you said, this is just a side piece for Microsoft as a whole. You know, they could put time and say, you know what, how can we fix this? Well, we got to put this in charge, this and that. Make it so, number one, just do it. You know, and that's it. And that's what we're saying.
Xbox Live Gold is making them bank.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, even that, like when you think about it, what are you paying for? You're paying for those games. Those supposedly free games, that's where that money's going, because they're not hosting these games. They're not spending all that money on the servers. They're maintaining it, like we talked about last time, but they're not really hosting. If they were hosting everything, yeah, I get it. But $60, man, that's most of that has to be profit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah, I found it just very interesting. I'm like, he pretty much admitted, it's like, yeah, we were in a bad state, man. He's like, when he took over, he said things were really low, like morale-wise and shit.
Yeah, and I mean, we've been mentioning all these things, but somehow we're like bashing Microsoft. But I guess now Phil Spencer is bashing Microsoft with a statement.
So he's a traitor.
Yeah.
He's a traitor.
He's a traitor.
He's an inside traitor.
Yeah. You gotta. Oh, go ahead.
No, that's it. People just get pissed. They don't want to hear that. You know,
people had to understand. We want Microsoft to succeed. Like, especially me and Adam. Yeah. I think we're the biggest Microsoft fans out of everyone in the Throwdown.
I sent out a video today on my Twitter of all these new features they just announced. A lot of cool new features. Just the interface still sucks. I hate the interface. But the cool features, for example, like something you would like, Tony, it's for achievements. It'll track your achievements and show like the next one that you should be working on
based on your
play style. Yeah. So it's like, hey, you're really good at, let's say, shooters, right? It's like, you know what? There's this achievement for this game that you have of like 5 headshots. We think you can do it based off of these other things if you've done, you know, and those type of things. And remember, their achievement system still does a percentage, which is awesome.
Yeah, man.
And I wish the other ones did that, man. It's like, oh, you're 5 kills away from the 50 required for this trophy. I really wish.
Yeah, it's like I like trophies more than achievements, but there's some stuff achievements do that are better than that. Like that, like tracking them and shit.
That, the tracking. Oh, they have different sounds now for when they get like super rares and ultra rares and all that stuff. So you'll get a different animation and stuff just to let you know. And it'll point out the fact that you are like a certain percentage of people that have it. It's like, wow, you're part of the 10% of people on our network that actually has this trophy. Congrats. And it'll put it in a special category.
Yeah.
PlayStation does that.
Yeah. They but the thing is like, cause they're, PlayStation does do that, but the sounds would be nice though. Like a different sound. Cause every trophy makes the same sound. But I think the sound is like their version of like having different colored trophies. You know what I'm saying? Because it's all numbers, basically.
They still don't have it divided up. So if I have like 1,000, you know, a bunch of games with 1,000, there should be a section showing it. Sort of like how when you have platinums, you know, there's a separate section showing all your platinums.
Wait, hold on. I got to quickly stop the show. We were just joking about this on the show. So Life and Wiz is on in the comments saying that Xbox fans are doing videos actually calling Phil Spencer a traitor. We were just joking. Oh my God. What the hell is wrong with these people, man?
You are the betrayer.
There's always a knucklehead. And there's always a knucklehead.
Man.
How does that even work?
Because he didn't go out there and say, Xbox is the best
box. No. I get that. What I mean is like, so Phil Spencer is like an integral part of Xbox. So that's like, if this were feudalism and he were the king, he can't go against the kingdom because his word is law. Like, Xbox can't betray Xbox because whatever they do is in the interest of Xbox.
Yeah, but it's not a kingdom. This is like, they're zealots. This is a cult. This is cult mentality. The brand is what's important to them, not Phil Spencer. So he has to go out there and be a shill. If he's not being a shill, if he's not saying Xbox is the best thing ever, whatever, then their fifis are hurt, and then they get mad.
I'm not going to go to it, but I did hear some guys, I don't know if they were Xbox or not, they were saying, oh, Phil Spencer went out there and he sounded like an SJW. I'm like, really? Because he wanted everybody to be included, bro? Come on, man. It's stupid. It's fucking dumb. But you're right. It's like, how are you? But they've done this before. Whenever Phil Spencer has actually come out to call out fans and shit, they would be like, oh, he's a traitor. Like, he's betrayed us.
Well, by the way, speaking about being inclusive, they announced that East Origin's going to be on Xbox.
Yo, cue that Birdman gif right now, man. That's awesome.
I never expected this. So, but this is good news. I'm like, finally, like some like huge like Japanese games are hitting this shit, man. Like that are not like from Capcom or anything.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I mean, the thing is, like, Xbox has never been without Japanese games. It's just the matter of the fans actually buying them. They don't exactly.
They just don't sell. People don't buy them anywhere. People don't buy them in Japan. They don't buy them. It doesn't matter who makes it. They just don't support it.
They don't buy them, man.
Dragon should have been a hit.
You know, for real. And the other one, the Sakaguchi game should have been big, too. You know, that shit bombed, too, man. It's crazy. And from what I heard, that game is excellent. You know?
That's
Carlos, didn't you play that shit, man?
Which one?
The Final Fantasy Director game on Xbox 360.
Oh, Lost Odyssey.
Yeah.
That game's amazing.
Yeah,
that was an awesome one.
Dudes didn't buy the game, though. You know, that's a problem. That's the thing. It's like Xbox, you know, because people say, oh, Xbox needs to do this. They said, I'm like, they've been trying that. You guys aren't buying them, you know, because again, the you know, and what do they say about those games? They call them, and I am quoting these dudes now. They call them crappinese games. Yeah.
Oh, Tony, you like this. You like this one. So one of my Xbox buddies who's always preaching it and praising the whole thing, right? So he was always talking all this shit about Cuphead. He was like, yo, that's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. This and this and this and that. You know, and I was like, all right. So I was like, yeah, I picked it up. I haven't really played it. What about you? No, I ain't get that shit. I don't like this. The controls. Yo, what? You were praising it.
Wow.
The
whole damn
thing. Like, man, that's not the point, man. I'm not, that is the point. You can't type me. You're telling me to go get it. I got it. You didn't even get it. You pray,
yo, but that's the bridge. Shit we talked about before when Cuphead.
I'm bringing it up. I found that hilarious.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that. That was indeed funny because I'm like the same. Because we said this on the show. I'm like the same guys that were championing Cuphead. Right? Either didn't actually buy it or can't beat the game. Meanwhile, how many of us on Throwdown actually beat this game? Well, there was like a good three of us, right? Like, come on, man, what the fuck?
The crazy thing about that whole story is Cuphead's it's a great game. Like,
fantastic.
I would understand maybe like jumping ship on
it. He thought it was going to be a Mario. That's what he thought. No. He thought it was going to be. I was like, no, it's a boss battle type game. Man, why'd they do that? Why didn't they make it the way they wanted to? I'm like, this is the way it was always supposed to be. Like, I don't know about whatever you thought you were looking at, but
it wasn't supposed to have levels to begin with. It was supposed to be just boss battles.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah,
man. Like, I don't understand why talk down on a game that's probably the best exclusive to come out on the console since Gears.
Yeah, let's just be real here. You know, but it's funny. They talked the game up and didn't actually support it.
So I did. I'm doing my reoccurring segment here, Tony.
Uh-oh.
6.81% have beaten the game on Xbox.
Man.
Wow.
Jesus.
And what about Steam? Do you have those numbers?
Oh, shit, yeah.
I know Steam is like, what? It's got to be 10% by now.
I need to open Steam. That shit was
Yeah, but anyway, I think we're done with the Xbox here. So let's move on to January NPD. Very surprising because the number one game, I've never seen this franchise in NPD. And remember, this game was literally out for 3 days. 3 days in January. Monster Hunter World is the number one game.
Mm.
That's amazing.
Like they say in the Bronx, better why?
Better why?
Better why?
Because the game is hot. Because the game is hot fire, man. That's why. You know. So
man.
Yeah. And number two game, no surprise here, Dragon Ball. You know. So think about that. Go back. I just realized this. Like it's in my face. Two Japanese games are number one and two. That is incredible, man. You know, so that's good. Number three game. Hey, Techno, I hope you're there, man. I'm going to say it, brother. Call of Duty.
Call of Duty.
Damn right. Call of Duty number three. For life.
And Adam's other favorite game is on there. Number four, PUBG.
PUBG. I don't put no time in that.
Oh, shit. Look what's back in the top 10. Brian, you already know, son. Brian, you already know. You know, we got an NBA at number six. We got Mario at number seven. We got Zelda still there at number eight. Mario Kart. It's a three Nintendo threefer. Mario Kart number eight, number nine, and Madden NFL number 10. Damn, son. They got Dragon Ball Xenoverse at number 16.
See, but you know what? Some of those things that pop, like the Madden one, that was on sale for almost every console, and it was, $17 or something like that. So I know a lot of people just picked up, and it was for the Super Bowl and all that.
Also, Final Fantasy Dissidia is on number 19. Wink, wink. We'll wait till the end of the show for that. So, yeah.
Is Skyrim on it?
Skyrim? Oh, shit. Brett, damn, man.
I was waiting for that. Now I'll take that. Son. Kroger's over here.
Oh, shit. Yo, no, Monster Hunter, because this breaks down the consoles. Monster Hunter was number one even on Xbox.
Oh, yeah. Well, oh, yeah. Man.
That's great.
I told you. There was a mass migration. Hey,
you remember Destiny was also on Xbox, too. That, right?
But Destiny is that's an Xbox type of game, though. You know what I'm saying?
Remember we talked about how there's been a mass migration from Xbox or from Destiny to Monster Hunter?
Yeah, I guess there you go. There's your proof. You know, that's amazing. Do you guys want me to do that? You want me to do the console breakdown too? May as well, right? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Yeah.
Xbox One, the number one game, the best-selling games of January are Monster Hunter World, PUBG, Call of Duty, Dragon Ball, GTA 5, Star Wars Battlefield.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Battlefront?
Yeah, Battlefront, my bad. NBA 2K. Ooh, thank you, Daniel J. once again, man. Super chat. Okay, NBA number 7, Madden NFL 8, Assassin's Creed Origins number 9, and number 10, UFC. For PlayStation, it's almost the same, just a little rearrangement. Monster Hunter World number 1, number 2, Dragon Ball, Call of Duty number 3.
You know, wait, let me just say that the Dragon Ball game was on the Xbox stage.
And that was number 4 on Xbox.
So let me just say that.
Yeah. Also, number
it was in that confusing section, you know, where everybody thought everything was an exclusive, but not.
Yes. apparently, Grand Theft Auto 5 sold better on PS4 than it did on Xbox. NBA, Madden, you know, 5 and 6 respectively. Number 7, Dissidia. Number 8, Battlefront 2. UFC. 3, number 9, FIFA 10, you know? And then for the Switch, we got Mario Odyssey, we got Mario Kart 8, Legend of Zelda, Splatoon 2, Pokken Tournament. Hey, Brett! Number 6, baby! On Switch! There you go, man! Elder Scrolls. Oh, God,
but, consolation prize!
Whatever he says. What's that guy say? Oh, God, the blog!
That's pretty close. Yeah, we'll go with that.
Xenoblade Chronicles 2, number 7, ARMS, the game's still selling, number 8, Mario and Rabbids, number 9, and Doom, all right, number 10, we don't need to go down the 3DS games, right?
3DS, woohoo!
But Adam, this will make you happy, the best selling games in the last 12 months, number 1, you already know, man.
Call of Duty.
Call of Duty.
I'm telling you, man. It's just... Now, yo, I'm doing something so crazy that I've never done before. I went back to all my other Call of Duties. Like, I'm playing Black Ops 3 just so I can prestige in these now.
Yo, see, Techno, man. Thank you, man. He's happy. I said Call of Duty like 5 times.
That's it, because it's the butt of game. That's it. Everybody needs to know that shit.
Hey, guys.
Nobody plays that shit.
Number 7 best-selling game in the 12 months is Battlefront 2.
Damn it.
You see? It just shows it. No one knew the shit. No.
Anyway.
They weren't going to do it. They would just want to run around and play Spaceman.
So. Yeah.
I wanted to play Luke Skywalker.
Exactly.
Dude, I've seen that game on sale so many places. Like, it's... I think the
they're not paying full price. Those people are
I swear to God, it's down to like $18 on sale sometimes. It's like $30 new, and then
they see it at the store. It's like, well, I heard this thing had these things in it called loot boxes, but $18, that's not bad.
let me see. I'm looking here, but I remember hearing that wasn't it Switch that won hardware? This thing's not telling me. It was a booming month for hardware, which was up, whatever. Nintendo Switch sold the most systems. Okay, here we go. But this is interesting. The Nintendo Switch sold the most systems, but Sony's PlayStation 4 generated the most revenue. Okay, so there you go. So basically, Switch sold more consoles, but PlayStation 4 made more money.
Well, there's a reason for that. There's something integral that you get access to when you get a PlayStation that you don't get with a Nintendo.
Online.
It begins with an O and ends with online.
Online.
So those PlayStation Plus subscriptions make the difference, right?
Yeah, you're 100% right about that. How you make the money.
Make that money.
I haven't been telling you how to make a money.
Very interesting, MPD. Just, by the way, what's up?
It's really interesting that they didn't really put in a console with most engagement time.
That console with most bullets fired.
Exactly. I want to know the console that players press the button X the most on. You know.
Well, which X? Because they're different on the PlayStation.
It don't matter, man.
And the Xbox and the Nintendo. Wait, Nintendo is the same as Xbox, right? Or they flipped?
They flipped, I believe. They're flipped.
They're flipped.
Yeah, Nintendo, the X is where the Y is on the Xbox, or the triangle.
If you think about it, all three consoles have the X in different spots.
Yep.
That's crazy, man. Also, as Mighty Nerd brings out, a PS4 Pro also costs more money, you know?
Yes.
That's crazy. Technofabulous says, I tried making my Super Mario cereal box move with my Switch. It must be doing something wrong. It just sits there.
Do you have third-party cardboard? Because there's been known to be malfunctions.
Oh, did you see the duct tape?
You know?
They had their own Nintendo brand duct tape.
What?
Oh, is that to fix it?
Chris is cracking
that's
up.
That's just in case it doesn't work, right?
So when you want to start building it, you have to tape it up. And so they have their own brand of duct tape.
Yo, it's like, don't go to Walmart. Just buy our
own. To just fit together. Maybe they realize that they're engineering
To make it secure. Yeah, it'll snap in, but you know, it's cardboard. That shit'll fall apart.
Oh, okay. So it's like, do you have to buy the duct tape separately? Or
yes, of course.
Oh, great. How much does that cost, though? $80?
Once I saw it, I saw it laughing.
Does it come with a game?
No, I don't.
Yo, it's like, don't go to Walmart. Buy our overpriced shit.
They should do the duct tape like they did the Wii Motion Plus. You put it inside of a box. You have some extra stuff, right? And then it gives you like a little bit of a tenth of a game to play with the tape.
That shit is funny, man.
Just make the shit out of Legos or plastic.
Because that shit's too expensive. They have an abundance of cardboard. Remember, Japan recycles cardboard like water.
Yeah. All right, man. I think we're done with MPDs. Very interesting, especially again. I've never seen Monster Hunter on these things. This is crazy.
I'm gonna say this. They need to recycle all those Wii U boxes that they weren't gonna sell. So they had to do something with them.
Who says they're not?
Wii U's inside them.
Oh shit. Who would have? Daniel just says who would have thought you could make a profit off of cardboard? Hey, Nintendo, man. They did.
Hey, listen. Home Depot's been doing it for years.
Yeah, that is also true. Yeah. All right. This is a fun one. So Burnout Paradise is coming at consoles, man. Current gen consoles. This is like one of the most celebrated games in the franchise. One of us that a lot of us on this show love. So this is cool.
You know what that means?
Take me down to the paradise city.
Yeah. You know what else they're gonna do? It's gonna add a shitload of loot boxes. They're gonna lock everything behind.
No. None of it.
There's gonna be burnout cards.
Nope. Oh shit!
They even said it. They came out and straight up said it. They're like, no, it's just identical when it comes to all of that. All 80 tracks too. They got the license rights to all those songs.
Okay, so what about the DLC? Is that all in there?
All of it. The only DLC that's not in there is the one that lets you unlock every single car in the game.
Wait, there was a DLC for? Oh, that was the paid DLC.
Remember, those are like the cheat codes to unlock if the time savers they call.
Yeah, time saver pack, exactly. I'm down for this, man. As a matter of fact, I'm going to say this right now, but making it public, this is going to be one of our next throwdown night games, man.
Yep,
I used to play the shit out of Burnout Paradise with my head's back.
Yo, we're gonna get the platinum in it. Will you do it again? Will you run the road again, Tony? Platinum.
Not, here's the real question. Will I have to buy a camera for this shit?
Oh, shit.
Yo, here's I got a story for you guys, man. Burnout Paradise is the only game I paid extra for a trophy. You're like, what do you mean, Tony? Because one of the trophies was you needed to take a picture of yourself, you know, so you could have it in the game. I didn't have a PlayStation camera, so I bought a PlayStation camera just so I could get that one trophy.
Yep.
Just like everybody. And by the way, here's the funny thing about the game, because you don't need to get 100% in the actual game to get the platinum. I still got 100% in that bitch, just so how much I played it, you know? That was a great fucking. And it's funny about Burnout Paradise. I hated it at first. I'm like, what the fuck is this shit open world, man? I want Burnout 3. You know, but the more I play, I'm like, oh, wow, this is. Yeah, it's still Burnout. It still has the same controls. It's still Burnout. It was just bigger. You know what I'm saying? Oh, my fucking God.
It's Car City.
Car City, yeah.
It was. Well, the important thing to keep in mind, Tony, is that you use that PlayStation camera damn near every day since you bought it. So
yeah, exactly.
You're using it right now.
Yeah, right. Like the top gamer and shit.
Speaking of which, I did. I when we first started doing Throwdown video, I didn't have a good camera, and you know what I was using?
PlayStation
camera.
Yeah. By the way, Brett is right, people. I used that shit once and never used it again. You know. Great fucking game. By the way, just to say some shit about Burnout, it's funny because nowadays, open world racing games are pretty ubiquitous, right? And for you people who don't know what ubiquitous means, they're everywhere, right? that was kind of ahead of its time, you know? Like, we had open world racing games back then too, but not online open world racing games. Very rare thing. So, and then every game that's come out since, they're always cite this one as a, you know, as an inspiration. And I find it funny, EA has never, this 10 years, they've never made it.
See, now, I don't know if you were going to say this, but I found funny is that it was such a big hit and everyone loved it. And then they were like, yeah, we're not doing another one.
Yeah. Because
we're doing Need for Speed now. Yeah,
they threw Criterion on Need for Speed. And guess what? Those two Need for Speed games were very much like Burnout games, you know, but it still wasn't the same, you know. So,
I have a question for Brian. Are you getting this game?
I am tempted. Believe me, I am very, very tempted.
You have to. You didn't play with me on the PS3, remember? I was like, we gotta do this. And you were like, yeah, I'll be there. And disconnect. Pew.
Yep.
Well, Brian,
if you're like,
anytime. Just let me know when, where, and I'll try to be there. Seriously, like, we'll get a platform for you. Adam.
Shit. I'm gonna be real, though. Go ahead.
Brian, if you get this game,
you better be ready.
Oh, what was that?
What the fuck? What was that? I don't know what happened. That shit was funny, man. Was that like Ugandan knuckles or something?
Do you know the way?
It's a warning sign to Brian. Our rivalry continues past GTA racing.
Oh, yeah. Yo, Carlos, come then. Let's go.
I'm ready, man.
Yeah, I just want to hear Carlos. Oh, you boop, boop, boop. Yeah, the sounds you make in a racing game are very different than the sounds you make in a Monster Hunter game, you know? In Monster Hunter, it's like, cracks me the fuck up, man. But yeah, this will be good. My hope is, I hope it has a different set of trophies in it, because I already got the platinum in this bitch. I want new challenges.
Well, I mean, they have to change that one with the camera. They have to remove that. There was actually two of them, because another one was get a snapshot of like a takedown or something like that. See a reaction shot or some shit.
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
Because remember, that was the other thing that the camera did. It wasn't just to take your picture. It was that as long as it was on, let's say if someone took you down, then it would take a quick snapshot of your reaction of being taken down, and then they would see it on their end.
Yeah, I got that trophy. Like, I saw one of them, you know.
Yeah. Well, you had to get there. Yeah.
Yo, I was just glad I didn't see a fucking dick or something.
Oh, no, that was Uno. That was Uno on the Xbox 360.
I remember that.
Oh, my Lord. I remember playing Uno, and four people had cameras, because that was the first game that supported cameras on it, and people were straight up pointing it toward a TV just showing porn.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, yo, people are crazy. Wes said something interesting. I actually don't remember this being the case. He says that Burnout Paradise is also in the Guinness Book of World Records for having a political advertisement in it. It was for Obama's election.
Yep.
What? Yeah, 2008. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's right. Yo, it's funny. I don't remember the ad, though.
Where was he?
I don't remember the ad either, but I think I vaguely remember that. Here's the funny thing about that. I remember playing Burnout Paradise when the fucking like stock market dropped that year. You know, remember that big fucking crash it had in 2008? Which was also the reason that the gaming generation lasted so long. People didn't want to make another console, you know?
Why. They didn't think they were going to have expendable income for it.
Yeah. But yeah, Burnout Paradise, I'm ready. I believe they said March. It's early March, $40. Yep. We're already there. We're already there, man. I can't wait, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
It's also going to come to PC. I said, I think later.
At a later date. No date given for the PC.
Yeah. Man, PC guys got to wait. Yeah.
They want to see how it sells on consoles first.
You know? Now they're working on it, though, you know?
they're like, man, that Star Wars game didn't do as good as we thought it would do. Let's bring out something people actually like.
Yeah. He said it was a billboard with Obama's face. I legit don't remember that, though.
Yeah, there was a billboard with Obama's face.
Here's the thing.
To be honest, that is an incredibly smart move. Like, you know, people don't think about this stuff, but like, yeah, to get people to vote.
Oh, speaking of,
you know, if you have an ad cycle, just like any stupid website, it starts cycling ads.
Remember, it was an ad cycle because it was all kinds of ads and it would rotate. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't always there. But you know what's talking about weird ads? So I got some, I forgot what trophy it was that I got for WWE 2K18. Mm-hmm. The shit said Snickers and it had the Snickers icon on it.
Mm hmm.
An actual Snickers logo.
Man, you got that Snickers trophy.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell is this shit? I forgot what it was for, but I found it odd. I'm like, yo, that's a Snickers image.
Yeah, by the way, I'll quickly sneak this in there since we didn't talk about it before, mainly because a lot of us don't care. Daniel J's talking about the Spyro remastered. Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
No, I didn't know that. I like Spyro.
Yeah. Okay, so there you go. I'm wrong then. Somebody likes it. I don't care about Spyro.
No.
I'm playing it on,
I don't like Dragon. PlayStation.
But to be fair, I didn't like Crash Bandicoot either, and I bought the shit, so I will give this a shot. You know?
Oh, by the way, and Crash Bandicoot was huge, that remaster.
Yeah, I was surprised. I thought it was going to do okay. I didn't realize, like, you know, the other generation behind me was, like, really big into that game. I had no clue, you know?
No, for a lot of people, I remember that was PlayStation's answer to Mario.
Yeah, that's true. Because I thought it was stupid when I played it back in the day, you know? But then again, I didn't like any PlayStation games back in the day. I was a Sega fanboy.
See, there you go. If they had Twitter and shit, you would have been one of these haters, just like the Xbox. Man,
I really would have been, son. I really would have been. That's why I'm so glad. Been. Yeah, I'm so glad Twitter did not exist back in the day, son. Oh, man. All right. And the last topic here is, this is a bit of a heavier one, but we got to talk about it because it does, you know, bleed into our world, right? So, mm-hmm. Okay, so fucking Donald Trump, our current president as of the year 2018, He said something that sounds very familiar. He is, because, you know, there was a school shooting last week or whatever in Florida. He's blaming video games for that shit. Doesn't that sound familiar? You know?
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound familiar?
You know, it's sad how when these sorts of tragedies happen and everybody's just looking for things to blame
everybody else except the guy. The day that my Call of Duty comes with a assault rifle is the day I'll agree with that comment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yo, guess what I got?
Think about it like
real
this.
Real fucking gun and bullets.
Yeah, I'm going to jump on Adam's show right there. Think about it like this. Call of Duty, one of the biggest franchises of all time, right? If video games cause people to be violent, then why aren't you there's murder sprees
all
the time?
Be killers.
You know, come on, man. And the thing is, and Manny and I were talking about this in Valentino's today, you got to go back. It's not just like, oh, video games are society sells. Fucking metal was society sells. Rock and roll, jazz, fucking.
Blame everything. Yeah, everything else.
Fucking ragtime music was considered a poison on society.
Yeah, TV is going to kill, you know, that. TV, movies, they're all horrible.
Everything.
The fucking printing press.
It's always the news. like the printing press, yeah. Yeah, or the movies when it came to theater, they thought it would cause poison theater, you know.
Yeah, it's the same stupid tired ass argument, you know. And Manny, I'm gonna quote you. It's just a bunch of old people don't understand what the fuck's going on.
Yeah,
you know?
You see what it is. It's not a bunch of younger politicians talking about this. It's some old cat who doesn't know shit from shit.
Oh, they know. This is just to divert the conversation. That's all.
Oh, no. That's exactly what it is. Because somebody does not want to have that sort of conversation about certain things. It jumps right to the scapegoat, which is video games or video game violence or rap music or friggin' heavy metal music. Come on, people. Literally, it's like they're, you know, like. So everything that people that you know that you don't enjoy is the problem? Come on, dude. And I'm sure that motherfucker's kid is playing the Call of Duty.
Yeah, and ironically, in the early 2000s, Trump had a fucking video game. You know, one of those tycoon millionaire games. I'm like, all right, bro. Mm-hmm.
He had a board game too. Mm-hmm. It was like Monopoly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fucking stupid. It's dumb. It's the same old argument over and over and over again, you know? And I'm wondering, when the hell are games not going to be? Because even movies are still getting blamed, you know?
Movies are still getting blamed. You know, it's always about this sort of stuff. I mean, what about, you know, like, how come nobody ever brings up the goddamn media on how much they friggin' harp on so many of these horrible things? They're not looking to tell you the news. They're looking to give you to engagement.
Bad news sells.
Bad news sells.
Mm-hmm. That's just the way it is. It's always going to be some shit. You know, yeah. But you know what? I have a lot of friends that are gun collectors, and they know there's no need to have the assault rifle. No, they have them because they just collect. They like having them. And that's all this is. This is just, you know, people that just want to collect their toys and stuff. But really, you don't need those type of weapons. They keep saying, oh, it's the Second Amendment right. No, no, it was a different time. They were shooting fucking muskets, one shots, okay? If they were to see the shit that we have now, mind's blown. Mind blown.
I also think that this is, you know, when we're coming down to this sort of situation, it's not the exterior media that's the problem. It's also the problem is, you know, nobody ever talks about this stuff. Friggin' the mental state of the people that are actually picking up the guns.
Yeah, exactly.
They don't ever talk about this. They talk about how much they need to control, which they don't understand. Where they talk about all this other stuff, but how come it's so fucking easy to do this shit?
You know, because it'll that be even old, more
that old motherfucker who shot all those people down in Las Vegas. Nobody's blaming fucking movies and video games for that guy. That guy was a fucking blank slate.
Oh, he was nothing. I remember, what about a few years ago before in Florida where the guy shot another guy in the movie theater because he was too loud?
Yeah. Shit.
He just like shot. Fuck,
son.
He had a permit for it.
To quote Chris Rock,
you better turn off that phone.
Whatever happened to just fucking crazy?
Yeah, you know? Just crazy.
you know?
I mean, and that's the thing, though.
Because
that's, like, oh,
because
mental
crazy.
Illness.
Because people can't get crazy. People can't get a person that's off. They're looking for reasons in so many different other places, rather than looking at the actual person that's doing this thing. What was this? You know, I don't know the full details of this situation, but you go back. Let's talk about Columbine, and they started talking about the Matrix and video games and all that other stuff.
They blamed Manson too because of the music they found.
They blamed Marilyn Manson because they just so happened to listen to his music. You know what? The main thing, and they even boiled this whole down. They were all fucking bullied.
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up Manson because, you know, after Columbine happened, they asked Manson, hey, what would you have told the shooters? He's like, I wouldn't have told them anything. I would have listened to them.
Yeah, and that's the same. That's the problem. These motherfuckers, like, I'm so appalled. I never thought that little Jimmy would do it. Did you ever fucking listen to little Jimmy?
Yeah. His friends did. People in school did.
You know what? Since we're already going down this rabbit hole, let's just talk about this case specifically, right? Because, okay, Manny, you said, did ever you listen? This guy literally went on Facebook to say, I am going to kill people at this school. The FBI was looking at this guy, and they never actually took any action. I noticed a pattern here, by the way. Not to get too political. I noticed a pattern. Every time there's one of these big shootings, fucking terrorist shit, all these guys were always under scrutiny by the FBI or law enforcement, and they let them do the shit anyway, you know? Every fucking time
they watch them, they just don't really watch them. It's not like Homeland, you know, where they have somebody tail to this person, you know, 24/7.
Yeah, but don't you know? But you see what I'm saying? Though it's like it always seems that way, especially with this guy. He went on Facebook, I want to become a professional serial killer or whatever said.
No, he told fellow students, and then they went and told people. They're like, yo, this dude's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but again, it always comes back to video games. Because
this is a tricky thing when they're like, oh, mental illness, and you have to check. Well, then that means that you're requiring these people, if you're going to apply for a gun license, to go get treated by a psychologist.
If you're going to give somebody a friggin' pistol that can instantly kill somebody, I personally want to know that the guy holding that fucking gun is at least mentally sound.
Yeah,
I mean, in Japan, I'm going to put out Japan. Japan is probably the hardest, and Australia are probably the two hardest places to get a fucking gun. In Japan, they do rigorous testing as to who's getting the gun. They do background checks, they do mental checks, and they do it every fucking year.
Hold on, I got a quick question because I
just for a hunting rifle.
Hold on, okay, because I'm like, I didn't know Japan even allowed guns.
They do, but the thing is that you have to go through a lot of stuff just to get a
hunting rifle. You can't get a gun.
So I'm saying, if people are willing to, people really want these things, right? Why not have every single person checked? And I'm also going to say that, yes, here's the thing. No matter how many people, you know, you get all these people, you're still going to have somebody that is going to be, at least you will lower the chances of this sort of stuff. The number two, it's like, yes, you think about it. There's so many freaking black market guns all over the damn place. and you don't even know what to do with it. If you wanted to get a gun, you could have. But let me just bring up the fact that the guy who did that stuff in Vegas, pretty much every single gun was legal that he had. He had a license. The only illegal thing that this idiot did was he modified one of his single, yeah, he yeah. modeled he, so that it would shoot totally automatic. So, yeah.
Oh, well, this is
interesting. They're trying to ban the bump stocks.
Yeah. By the way, I'll ask you about bump stocks in a bit. Hussein, I didn't know this. He says he goes, I'm from Australia and it's hard. It's hard. You can get lots of type of guns. It's just very hard and requires licenses. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
Shout out to Australia, though. Shout out to Australia.
Australia. Like, I heard that there was also one way that they cut down a lot of the gun sales, especially with assault rifles, is that they enacted a buyback program where they essentially bought back gave money for every single person who had one of those. I think that I'm not sure if that's totally true, but I think that did happen.
Yeah. But hey, Mighty Nerd, where are you from, man? He goes, recently where I live, they quickly arrested a few minorities for just making a threat about shooting his school up. Where do you live, man? Just answer that for me. But yeah, this whole thing is fucked up. Obviously, you know, the sad part is all these school shootings and shit, it's going to keep going. I'm not going to go too much on a tangent, but I'm just going to say this. There's something very, very wrong with society right now. That's what's really fucking things up here. It's really something's wrong with society and people are lashing out, you know. And then the sad part is, you know, I'm just being real right now. We see this shit on TV and stuff, right? Some other dude who's unhinged, he sees this and he's inspired to do this too. Copycats, they call it, you know. So it's like, we need to cover it, but at the same time, you're also glorifying it to an extent, you know? So it's a very tricky thing. It's like you're caught in a rock and hard place. You need to cover it, but you also don't want to glorify it. But by covering it, you kind of are glorifying it.
Kind of do glorify it. So here's a situation. This is also Japan. You know, you've all heard of the suicide forest, right?
Yeah. You mean the Craig Paul one or whatever, right?
Yes, the Craig Paul
Logan one. Logan Paul, my bad.
Logan Paul thing. Now, the thing about that is when they started reporting that, you know, people were committing suicide in this forest, the amount of suicides went up inside that specific forest. Why is that?
Yeah, people copycat.
Because people copycat, because that's the best. Because I'm going to say this, and this is sad about people, but when they see something that somebody else is doing, or it's in the zeitgeist, okay, this is the place where you go to shoot yourself, where you go to kill yourself. And then they all copy that.
Yeah, I'm guessing it wasn't a case of like, they're like, hey, I want to kill myself. There's like, they were already going to do it.
They were going to do it. And they're like, okay, this is the place that you do that.
Yeah, exactly. Man, this episode is going to get demonetized. Go on, man. It doesn't matter.
Here's the thing. Like when we start talking about this sort of stuff, when certain people start making these comments about this stuff, now it leaks into our fucking world. You know, there's a point where you want to have fun in games, and then somebody needs to come in and start pointing fingers because they don't know anything.
Yeah. Oh, and then, you know, this other thing I called Trump out on, right? He goes like, oh, maybe we need to have ratings on video games.
Yeah, that shows you how uneducated that fucking idiot is.
This guy's a fucking dumbass. He literally said there needs to be ratings on video games. Yeah, like they haven't existed for 20
years. Seriously, bro?
Yeah, dumbass.
So some fucking body, somebody in his idiot camp should have went over and went, yo, there is an ESRB. Every single game has a thing on there. Oh, well. I never pay attention to those.
They need to have our ESRB or some shit.
I never pay attention to those.
Yeah. By the way, I don't know how to do a Trump impression. I can do impressions of other presidents. Him, I can't do, you know. Bigly, I don't know how to do an impression of him.
You mean you can't do smarmy New Yorker?
Yeah. No, but I'm talking about the way he specifically speaks, you know. The people. I don't know.
Can you do a Bernie Sanders?
Bernie Sanders? Oh, that's a tough one for me, actually, even though it should be easy, you know, like, I'm Bernie.
I'm Bernie Sanders.
I'm Bernie Sanders.
I'm going to tell you.
Yeah. Socialism is great.
I'm angry at you.
Yeah, you got to sound like a super Jew or something to do a Bernie Sanders one. You know?
Yeah,
I'm Bernie Sanders.
It sounded like that. He had the heavy Brooklyn accent.
Yeah, it's weird. I can't like I could do like mob Brooklyn, like hey, you guys. You know?
Hey, I'm Donald Trump here.
Yeah, you know, I'm Donald Trump here.
About the video game, the video games.
Well, you guys need to do, yeah. What you guys needs to do is put the ratings on the video games.
You know, when I walk out there and I see these games and these kids.
What the hell? Yeah, we're crazy right now, man. Hey, listen, it's a heavy topic. We got to lighten the shit, man.
You got to lighten it up. It's like, our impression of Donald Trump is a mobster shyster guy.
Yeah. You mean he's the one that's been hunting us like a dog?
He's the one that's hunting us like a dog.
Get them dogs.
Them dogs. Hey, boss.
It's a, here's the thing. It's like we've, you know, in our generation, you know, in the video game generation, which we've all grown up with, and, you know, we've seen it with Mortal Kombat. We've seen it with all these different things. We've seen it with friggin' Night Trap, a game that's like nothing.
Night Trap.
It's not even really that violent.
It's not that. Is that it actually used real actors?
It used real actors, and that was the whole point of it. Because they saw it as some sort of pornography or something like that, which it really wasn't.
It showed violence against women.
But the thing is that even the violence is cartoony and silly.
Yeah, like they literally had these little. It was a B movie.
It was like a lousy B movie.
Yeah, and it was very.
It was also very aware
of itself too. You know.
Yeah, it was aware of itself, and the other thing about it was a game that was made for Galoob. Or whoever, it was supposed to be one of those videotape like things. Those choose your own adventure for videotapes.
Yeah.
So it was not made for anybody.
I don't think that game was necessarily crucified for what it was. It just came at a time when there was a lot of tension around video games, and they were looking for a scapegoat. They're like, "This is what's."
It was
the slippery slope.
It got lumped into the Mortal Kombat category. I mean, granted, yes, Mortal Kombat was very violent, but also at the same time, like, you know, it's a difficult one. And the only reason why anybody gave a shit about that game was not because of the fact it was in the arcades. It'd been in the arcades for a while. Once it started coming home, that's when it's like, oh no.
Even then, and somebody here correct me if I'm wrong, does anybody else feel like we've gotten more sensitive to things like
yes,
from the 80s, yeah. And I'm like, holy shit, a lot of stuff used to fly.
Well, I mean, a lot of stuff used to fly. You look at the original E.T. That was a PG movie. You hear how much those kids curse in that movie? Just watch it again. Yeah. Without the walkie-talkies.
Yeah, no, it's kind of interesting because, like, movies have become, like, more conservative, yet TV has become really crazy. Like, they do shit on TV now you could not get away with back in the day.
You can curse now. Now they're cursing.
Yeah, now because you know what it is? It's the, what do they call it? The late night mark. So once it reaches, if a show reaches over that mark, they're able to, you know, sneak a fucking, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but it's not even that. It's like the gore and shit is crazy now.
Like you look at Walking Dead. That show is freaking like that is not a PG PG-13 show. Yeah. That is a rated R show with zero cursing.
Yeah, here's the ironic thing: Walking Dead would be an 80s movie. You know, like if you really think about it.
Well, I think a big part of it is, and I've been watching a show called Altered Carbon on Netflix. I'm not sure if any of you have seen
that. Oh, that's a good show.
It is a good show, but holy shit, the lines between TV and movies have just been erased by Game of Thrones. Like, I didn't even notice how casually they threw in, like, full frontal nudity until, like, the fourth time that it happened. I was like,
oh my God, yeah, that one. the dude walks in the room. It's like, hey, honk.
Yeah, you're just like, wow, there's a lot of naked people in this, and they're just cursing constantly. So I think TV is having to respond to, like, because Netflix isn't, they don't have to.
Netflix isn't rated.
By the way, Daniel J says, he's like, I can't believe you get away with it. He basically says he can't believe the FCC lets Netflix get away with it. Netflix is not under FCC's jurisdiction.
No, it does. No. Yeah, they're not under any jurisdiction.
Like HBO and stuff, they didn't go after HBO either, or any of those paid services.
Well, the thing is that they do HBO is still has to be rated, like, you know, because it's still broadcast.
Yeah, it's still broadcasting.
So it's still rated like M, you know, something or whatever the ratings are. But the thing is about Netflix is that it's not broadcast. Yeah. And they have to regulate. But the thing is that officially they're just wrong. I mean, that shit was like a lot of that stuff. That's like NC-17 sort of stuff. That would have instantly been called NC-17.
Yeah, like I'm pretty sure they got away with shit. This they haven't gotten away with in Game of Thrones, because I was like, that is Lady Bush. That is Lady Bush. They're just
right there,
bottom third of the screen right now. Okay, I mean, just oh, and he's a penis too. They're just going.
Game of Thrones did that, and Spartacus also did that.
Spartacus had a lot of penis in it.
Oh yeah, Spartacus did that.
And sometimes those penises were chopped off.
Yeah,
that show was crazy. To just be like having like testing its own boundaries. Like, can we get away with this? We can, really. All right. Well, let's see in this leave the script and see if it passes the next producer or the next executive. And I can't help but think some of the writers were simply like, "Holy shit, I can't believe this made this to screen."
Yeah, they're like, I heard that for Spartacus it was just like. They just said, is this too far? They're like, no, go farther. But wait, what? Really?
Yeah, shit they can't even get away with in movies. You know, it's hilarious.
Yeah, like you would, Spartacus would probably be in, you know, NC-17 or X.
Yeah.
If it was ever a film. But I mean, it's interesting how that all has all changed, where TV has kind of become the. I feel a lot of – I notice that a lot of even directors have kind of said that TV and episodic TV has kind of become the new, you know, experimental area.
They can get more creative on a lower budget, and they're not required to do the 16 to 23 episodes that was the standard before.
Yeah.
Before, you had to do a lot of episodes. Now you don't have to do that. Hell, you could only do three like Sherlock and call that a season.
Well, Sherlock in Britain, it's a little bit different. Their seasons, their shows are kind of like disjointed and cut apart like that. Like, have you ever heard of the series Red Dwarf?
Yeah, Red
like,
Dwarf.
Red Dwarf will like have like three episodes like in 1 year, and then they skip like 10 years, and then they have another three episodes.
Netflix did away with that too, though, in the sense that like you're like, how many episodes? Like, I now have to actually like. When I was watching Altered Carbon, I had to like stop on episode 5. I was like, is this shit about to end? Like, no, there's 10 episodes. But even then, 10 episodes kind of seems to be the Netflix standard package.
Yeah, 10 episodes, and they're fully packed, like hour-long episodes. It's like they're all their own little movies. We're talking about pop culture on here. What's up with this?
What's going on?
So, yeah, you know, I mean, I guess we take it back to topic again. And it's like, it sucks that they kind of, that people enjoy this sort of media, people don't understand this, instantly incriminate it when something goes wrong. But I have to ask the question, what about those situations where you can't blame those sorts of things? Like I said, like the one that happened out in we talk about the massacre that happened in Florida at the club, or we have the other massacre that happened in friggin' Las Vegas. You know, what do we say about this? You know, was that guy part of some sort of extremist group? They, from what they've said and what they've put out there, there's nothing about that guy. It just sounds like it was a disgruntled man who decided, I'm going to just shoot some people. And that's crazy.
Yeah.
He didn't put anything, from what I've seen, he didn't put anything out there saying, hey, I'm going to go and kill all these people. Nope, just did it.
You know, one thing that always sticks with me on this is, any of you guys ever watch a series called Penn & Teller's Bullshit?
Yep. Yes.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. There was a particular episode in there where they were doing violence in gun video games, and I believe it was a Call of Duty. It was like a 12-year-old kid who was like a Call of Duty champion. And, you know, it logged thousands of hours in, knew every make and model of every gun, was just, you know, down to the bones, Call of Duty. And they took him out to a firing range. They put a real assault rifle in his hands, and they let him shoot at a target. And now by all, you know, logical sense, this kid should have been thoroughly desensitized to the idea of gunfire. About three rounds left the chamber before the kid, like, broke down, handed the gun off, and ran over to his mom and, like, wrapped her up in a hug and started crying. This kid was scared shitless of a real gun. And he was one of the people that logged in the most hours in Call of Duty. And if you want any kind of definitive evidence that this isn't a kind of across-the-board desensitization kind of thing, that right there is the best evidence you have. And I think that people need to talk about the fact that the people that may have problems, you know, not confusing reality and fantasy – probably have mental problems to begin with.
Yeah.
Sure, they could be exacerbated by video games, but you can't make the blanket statement of video games are a problem here, because they can also be used for a tool for critical thought building or reflex timing or grief counseling, for instance. I mean, Hellblade was very hard for me to play, but in the end, I think very cathartic for my process as a grieving widower. Like, are you going to take away those tools just because they can be used the wrong way? The same thing has been said for everything from comic books to books. There was a time in history when books were the root of all evil because they gave, you know, the fanciful ideas of you know,
take not even that long ago, the Nazis were burning books.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, it's there's always something that you can demonize, and it's always some kind of vehicle for thought, because you don't like the thought that's being put forward. But this isn't a new concept. And each iteration that's brought up, it's just as bullshit. We know now that books don't make people evil. We know that you can read things in books that other people may not want you to read, but books aren't evil. Plays aren't evil, even though they were once considered evil. Songs aren't evil. Comic books, magazines, none of these are evil. Video games aren't evil. It's just the latest in iteration. And we... when, you know, in 100 years, when we're sitting back and being like, is virtual reality bad for teenagers? Like, it's going to be the same thing. It depends on what you do with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you have an emotionally disturbed person looking at this sort of content, you know, and it somehow it strikes them, doesn't, I mean, you know, they're coming from the side of where it's like, it is these things that cause this, these video games that are causing people to become mass murderers. So you're saying that just because this person who was obviously a disturbed person, a deranged person, saw these things, and in his or her own brain made this mental leap into murder, should we blame the actual games that that this person was playing? Or should we actually go in and actually and look into this person? But the sad thing about all this stuff and this person that did this and did all this stuff is that the thing about mental illness is that it doesn't show itself all the time. Not everybody just runs around looking like a friggin' maniac. A lot of them are just look like normal people. That's why you always see a lot of those serial killers, and you they always interview the families, the people that live around them, and they're like, "Oh wow, they're like, "Oh, he was like a normal person. He never saw it because you didn't BTK. Know him.
BTK. He was so quiet. No shit, because he was planning something.
Yeah, because he was planning something.
Because the motherfucker who's not planning on shooting somebody does not give a shit if he makes a scene. It's the motherfucker's like, I better not get caught because they'll find my stockpile. That's the motherfucker you need to worry about.
Yeah,
that's something I'm glad you guys brought up, because it's like, because I don't want to come out here and say video games cannot cause violence. They can, but you need a specific type of person that will play a game and go, oh shit, I want to fucking do. I want to make, you know, no Russian for real. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, the problem is that kind of mentally disturbed individual can get the same ideas from anything.
From anything. That's right. If it wasn't video games, it would be movies. If it wasn't movies, it'd be music. If it wasn't music, it'd be plays. Something would set them off.
It'd be Dave down the street.
Someone's face. Like,
it could be history. It's like, oh, I saw freaking, you know, this evil person from the past do this. I learned this in school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like anything.
So yeah,
anything that can trigger that person. It's the fact is trying to figure out and identify a person who is emotionally disturbed, and trying to help them, and trying to get them the proper care that they need. But nobody wants to talk about that. Friggin', when you have some sort of mental disorder, you might as well just you much better have cancer, because people will deal with a person who has cancer or some sort of terminal illness. But nobody will touch a person who has a mental disorder, especially when they just start walking around there in the streets. you know, like that.
Yeah, yeah, no, that, you're
100% right. There's very little community support for people who are having those issues.
Oh, yeah, there definitely is. But the thing is that it's, you know, it, number one, it's like, you know, a person who has a mental disorder doesn't think that they're off. For them, that is normal. That's the norm, what's going on in their head. Mm-hmm. Now, figuring out, like, how you can't, it's like, in other words, it's like, again, it's not something that you can see. It's not like, you know, all of a sudden, if you have some sort of a problem with yourself, that instantly somebody can say, oh, that right there, that guy, that normal looking guy right there. Crazy. I mean, you know,
I mean, I'm kind of walking proof. I mean, everybody's listened to the podcast long enough, knows my history.
Mm-hmm.
And those off or on the panel here, they've actually sat and watched me slowly drift back to reality over what probably the last year or so.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been through, like, I'm not ashamed to say it. Like, I've had to undergo some therapy, man. Like, I walked away with PTSD. I'd seen some shit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it made a world of difference. If I hadn't gotten access to the help the way that I had,
yeah,
that could have broken me as a person, man. I could still be in horrible flashback loops set off by the slightest thing. But
mm-hmm.
because I got access to help, I'm a better person. I'm feeling better and I can contribute. It's the reason I'm sitting here talking to you guys in not a zombie comatose state. I mean, I'm a walking example of this. It's mental health is a very serious thing. And some people need a little help because life kicks them in the dick.
Yeah.
And society tends to turn a blind eye on those people. Yeah. And the ironic thing is the same people in society who defund these programs, who turn a blind eye to them, are the first ones to pipe up and talk about how things like video games are mm-hmm. causing these problems. No, video games aren't causing the problems. The fact that you have a defunded mental health sector is what's doing this shit. The fact that you don't have more charitable programs to help take care of these people who – yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah, Brett, you can you have people who – and we're getting political. Who cares? Like, people who defend guns, right? Like, there's people who are saying guns don't kill people. People do. But those same people are the ones that are against universal health care, for example. And that's what it will take to identify and help people that are in need. That's the only way I can think of kind of do that.
Here's the ultimately sad thing. And I'm going to use New York City as an example. There are and any place that has homeless people. A lot of the people that walk around there on the streets that you see out there, mm-hmm. these people are all mentally ill people. People that could be getting help somewhere, but it's fucking cheaper to have these motherfuckers walking around in the goddamn streets than actually helping them. That's the sad shit. That just giving this guy a shower and a shave for a couple of seconds is fucking cheaper than actually helping this person. That's the fucked up shit.
Yeah, no, you're right. Because, you know, at the end of it, it's all about fucking money and shit, you know? Because, if you're really, like, fucked up in the head, it's going to take one therapy session ain't going to do it. It's got to be a lot, you know what I'm saying?
No, it's the thing is that it takes a long time to diagnose this sort of stuff. You know, not everybody's built the same. Not everybody's chemical imbalances are the same. Depression, dementia, all this other stuff. It takes forever to do this. If there was there is no magic pill like that'll just fix it for you. A lot of people have to go through. You know, and I'm sure there's some people also on the show that take psych meds. How do you think they get there? It's a bunch of testing. You go to the doctor like, oh, well, you know, let's try this one. Oh, well, that didn't work. Let's try this one.
Yeah, it's an ongoing process. Like, even when they were, you know, trying to put me on meds, like, shit, one of those things put me in the hospital for 3 fucking days.
Yeah.
Like,
because the doctor wanted to play Dr. Frankenstein with you and try some shit out.
Exactly. Well, and especially with somebody who is homeless, like, holy shit, I'm just glad I had a support structure because I had like horrible fucking seizure convulsions and like throwing up blood. Like mm-hmm. if I would have been on the street, man, I would have died.
Yeah.
Like I'm not, that's not exaggeration. They were pretty fucking worried about me
mm-hmm.
while I was in there. And that was because I had somebody to call because when I couldn't even talk on the phone by that point, I had people on standby who were like, I know those retching sounds. And they came running over.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I didn't have access to that, who the fuck knows where I would have been? Like, this is,
yeah,
it's important shit.
I also feel that, you also notice that there also sometimes there is having a support system around a person too. I don't know the history of this person that did the shooting, but I want to also look at, what kind of world did this person come from? Where did they? I mean, it's a lot of times it's just having
He's rich. That's the other thing.
He was rich.
Because his dad died, left him like 1.something million. And then his mom, she died. And that was left. She left him like 500,000 or something like that. So, and he was being raised by family friends.
So essentially depression. So essentially, yeah, he didn't have a proper system. He didn't have the help for him.
He had money, but he didn't have support.
Yeah.
It's the same thing that happened to that other kid that at that one college. He was the son of a movie director or something like that, and he went on a killing spree in college because he couldn't get a relationship.
Well, as a culture, we're not really good at fostering community. But here's the thing about this particular instance that really gets me is they had received and everybody wants to talk about it, they had received multiple reports to the FBI. He was kind of on a list from the FBI that were supposed to be keeping an eye on him. Here's my question. Not why didn't you go out and arrest him? Why didn't you have somebody tagging him? Why weren't you watching him? Why didn't you reach out to him? Why didn't somebody reach out to him and say, hey, sorry, background noise. Why didn't somebody reach out to him and say, hey, it looks like you're in a bad spot here. It looks like you've lost both of your parents. Do you have anybody here who's taking care of you? Do you have anybody, maybe you should come in for a little bit of counseling. It's awfully traumatic to lose both of your parents. It has to leave you feeling quite isolated, angry with the world. I mean, fuck, if we know it now, like it takes a fairly casual glance to look at this person's life and be like, well, it looks like that guy's probably in a lot of pain because of life circumstance, and he may not have a proper support structure.
Rocket science. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you said it yourself, life can beat you down. Nobody, it stinks when it's horrible when these sorts of things happen, where it just, everything just comes down upon you. And there's no outlet for it. There's nobody to talk to. That's the worst thing ever. Not being able to say anything. People around, but essentially being lonely. That's not, the thing is that I feel like if there was some sort of support system for this person, that maybe something could have happened. If somebody said out there, I say, dude, I saw this thing that you wrote. I don't know. I mean, maybe we should, talk about this a little bit,
Yeah.
But it's not there. I mean, he was being raised by two family friends, but they probably didn't give that much of a shit about him.
Well, not enough to notice what was going on.
Yeah. Not enough to know. And that's the other thing. Having people around you that don't know what normal is for you. Like, where is a situation where it's like, if you started to become this way, right? They don't know you from the way you originally were. They only know this facade that you've created. A person that actually knows somebody, who actually really, really knows somebody, knows when they're putting on a facade and trying to hide something. And, it's kind of a deep conversation to have, but it is a conversation that got us involved because a certain person decided to draw the line on the sand.
At a certain point, and for all of you guys listening who are like, this is where I turn into the show, like, look, we all try not to be political, but in the world that we live in, at a certain point, it becomes inevitable. And we apologize for that, but politics kind of came home to roost where we are today. And so we're just responding. And there's no way to properly respond to the critiques laid against video games without laying out proper alternatives and levying our own critiques at where the system went wrong.
Yeah.
A proper argument involves more than So despite the fact that we try not to get into political discussions on the show, sometimes it has to be broken into to properly dissect the topic. So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And I'm just being honest right now, because if we didn't have this discussion right now, show would have ended half an hour ago. And since the room number is exactly the same, I allowed it, and I felt it was a good conversation, you know, despite the fact that it wasn't entirely about video games. But at the same time, you can't talk about this show without talking about the underlying roots of why this kind of stuff happens, you know. And this is something, you know, a little behind the scenes. Manny and I talked about, you know, we're here to, like, provide a little bit of a gamer show for people who want more than just fucking drama. You know what I'm saying? Like, a little bit more intellectual. So, you know, this kind of stuff may happen. You know, things are getting pretty heavy out there in the world, man. We're obviously going to focus on games the majority of the time. But if shit like this happens, like Brett said, if it comes home to roost, you know, in our home, got to talk about it, man. We got to talk about why it's happening instead of just, you know, throwing bombs and shit, you know. And I'll be honest right now. That's why I mostly just let these guys two talk, because I'm a bomb thrower. So I'm like, hey, listen, I'll back the fuck off and let these guys talk, because you guys will articulate it way better than I can. But I agree with everything both of you said completely. 1,000%
One thing, you know, I feel like, you know, in a lot of ways that gamers, you know, gamers have been getting a lot of flack throughout the years. You know, they've been calling gamers, you know, racist. They've been calling gamers all kinds of horrible things. I do not believe that out there that every single person is this way. And this room, this right here, is a total example. We come from different sides of the, you know, different sides, different points, and we all talk, and that's all brought us together. And I know that you people are out there, and I know that gaming has brought you together with other people as well. And I feel like I wish that there was some way that we could express this sort of stuff, where that gaming has done positive things for people, not just these horrible, you know, not just the blame for some stupid, for you know, something horrible that happened out, you know, or shooting or something that happened because, you know, somebody got angry on the internet. I definitely believe that there are people out there that, you know, that have been brought together by this stuff, and it's saved them. And I've seen some documentaries and things about, like, you know, some communities that just go out there and they game and they help each other and do all this stuff, like World of Warcraft groups and Grand Theft Auto groups, games that would be, you know, Call of Duty groups, all these guys going out there, these folks out there, you know, brought together by the things that they enjoy. And I wish that it didn't seem like every single facet of our society seems to want to drag every single bit of that down. The things that all of us enjoy.
Well, you know, one of the reasons they do that, at least in my opinion, and it kind of piggybacks off what you said, like, gamers are, to a certain extent, the Captain Planet bunch. It's despite all the toxicity and all the insult hurling and all of this other things, we're a very diverse group of people in age range, ethnicity, gender. We cover the spectrum. And we all manage to find a little place in the world filled with things that we like, and not seamlessly, but for the most part, cohabitate pretty well. Mm-hmm. And despite this, despite all of our differences, and this is one of the things that really warms my heart about video games, despite all of these differences and despite all of these people coming from different backgrounds, when people come and attack our hobby, we tend to stand up as a group, all link arms, and go, nuh-uh, no. This is not for you to decide. This is for us internally to decide. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of this has to do with the fact that, you know, especially going back way back in the day, gamers were really looked down upon. This has always been an uphill fight.
It was always thrown into that, into the,
it's just like comics. Yeah.
Yeah. Comics, the same thing. Like the nerdy kitty thing. Oh, well, you still play that game. You still read those comics.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
I do.
And as a consequence of this, gamers and video games are one of the last bastions that refuses to be completely homogenized by large media. You see more independent, unique voices and stories in video games than you generally get to see a lot of places. And the video game fandom itself, you guys, have stand up on multiple occasions and made your voices heard. The whole Gamergate thing on both sides. You know, the launch of the Xbox, like, there have been many, many times in which gamers have banded together, made their voices heard, and been able to successfully impact the industry. And we can't do it over shit like Battlefield a lot of the times, but when worse comes to worse, a whole bunch of people who are very different stand up to defend each other and the hobby that brings them together. And I think that is just one of the coolest things ever. I mean, that is a bright spot of humanity. So let's go ahead and focus on that. Let's focus on the good things about video games, the regenerative things, the therapeutic things, the cathartic things, the things that make us feel good, the fact that we can go out and shotgun somebody in the face so that we don't have to go out and do that in real life. And that should be the counter argument to all of this.
Yep, pretty much, man, pretty much. All right.
Team America, yeah. Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I do want to thank everybody for allowing us to talk about that stuff. You guys are fucking awesome, man. Again, we want to provide a little bit of a higher caliber of discussion around here, man. You know, mix them with the bullshit jokes too, you know.
Yeah,
by the way, Chris had to dip because of storms and shit, as you mentioned. Storms. Yeah. They got storms.
It's like, you know, again, you know, I think a lot of our fans have really said they like the format of our show, where it seems like it's just a conversation that we've had, you know, or we're having and stuff like that. And that's always one thing that we've always tried to do. These sorts of conversations, me and Tony we pretty much had this conversation like earlier today when I went to go visit him.
Yeah, you know? Pretty much.
So this is like an extension of all of those things, like stuff that we have conversations internally before or after the show. You know, we really want to keep that sort of thing. And, you know, also, you know, hearing what you guys have to say. So, let's plug a little something. What do you guys think about all of this? Put that all into our comments and see what, you know, let's read, let's get the conversation going about this.
Yeah, man. Continue it. I'll end it off with this. With Techno Fabulous says, this is great. He goes, I'm 45. I read comics, graphic novels, play Dungeons and Dragons, paint figures, play video games. And I am one of the most peaceful guys you'll ever meet. And you know why you're peaceful? Because you get to indulge in all that stuff. If you take all that shit away, you probably wouldn't be as happy as you are now, man. Let's just be honest. So those products are not the problem. It's whoever the person is. And you're obviously a well-to-do guy already, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy, man. Anyway, switching gears completely. We're going to do something very cool. And again, I wish I had my fucking camera issues, but we will, you know, have this for you tomorrow. So I got something to give to you guys, man. Very special prize to give away, basically. And again,
tell us, Steve Dave.
So I'm going to be giving away, we are going to be giving away a free Dissidia NT Collector's Edition for PlayStation 4. I'm going to do a video tomorrow, quick 1 or 2 minute video telling you how to, you can enter it, but it's pretty simple. Follow us on YouTube, Twitch, and on Twitter, right? And, you know, and you basically, okay, this is how it's going to work, because obviously you can't leave comments on Twitter, on Twitch. Either on Twitter or on the video I'm going to make, I just want you to answer this simple question. Simple question. What's your favorite Final Fantasy game? That's it. You know, and we're going to use our little algorithm there to select a person at random. But again, more details to come in the video that's going to pop up either... Actually, for us, it's tomorrow. For you guys, it may be now. You know, whoever's listening to this later on, you know?
Yes.
So, yeah, it's a pretty cool. And this was sent to us from Square Enix. They wanted us to give it away to you guys.
Thank you, Square Enix. That was incredibly nice of them to do it. And they literally said 4 giveaways and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
That is a really cool thing. And
is actually pretty big of them.
Yeah.
This is like the awesome collector's edition with the statue and the art book and all that really cool stuff. So if you're, you know, big Final Fantasy fan, or you like the old Dissidia games on the good old PSP,
you know, by the way, guys in the comments, chill out. Don't answer now.
I mean, you could talk amongst yourselves.
Yeah.
I'll give you a topic, Final Fantasy, but you got to leave it in the comments of the video.
We're moving up in the world, guys. We're now getting things to give you away. Normally we have to resort to mugging people outside of Best Buy, so this is pretty cool.
Well, you know, I mean, here's the thing, we have those rare occasions that we do get sort of things, but this is probably the first time we've ever gotten a collector's edition of something, and they said just give it away.
Yeah, because the thing is, they know I have a podcast, and you know they've seen some of the other unboxings we've done. Because this was originally going to be an unboxing, right? But I'm like, you know what? Let me just give this away to you guys, just without me opening it or anything, you know? Because you know, again, I'm not a Dissidia fan, so I'm like, this is perfect for them, you know?
Yeah.
And then, yeah.
So yeah, I guess we're gonna just show it off, and
yeah, know, I'm gonna do a video where I'm not backwards, you know. You know, I'll just show. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna show the box, and I'm gonna show like pictures of what's in the shit, explaining it. It'll be good. So we're probably gonna have the contest going for a good week, you know, between Friday and the next throwdown, and we'll just again select somebody at random, and hopefully, you know, we'll get a lot of people to enter. It's gonna be crazy. You know,
yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait to hear what people's favorite Final Fantasies are.
Yeah, and again, you don't need to go in depth. It's like we'll pick you at random. We want to make it nice and fair. You know.
Yeah,
but just to specify, you guys are going to have to follow us on multiple channels.
Yes,
it's not a whole lot to ask. Taking 5 minutes out of your day so you can help get our numbers up doesn't cost you anything but a couple of minutes, and you get the incentive to win the prize. So
yeah,
really, guys, like. Shy of bending over backwards and begging with like, come on, like this is a win for you guys. Take 5 minutes out of your day. Help us help you.
Yeah, it's simple. Because again, obviously, you know, one of the reasons, you know, for contests is to grow numbers and stuff, right? Even if you just want to watch us on YouTube, that's fine. Just still, you know, all you have to do is just subscribe to Twitch. You never have to watch us on Twitch if you don't want to, you know? You never have to watch us on Twitch if you don't want to, but just subscribe there too, you know? Because we're trying to build two fan bases here, essentially. I've learned that, by the way, that YouTube and Twitch, very different audiences, you know?
They're different animals.
Yeah. Yeah, and we like giving shit away, and we'll continue to give shit away just because we can.
Oh, yeah.
But we also want to grow our numbers, so, you know, little tip for tat. We're bribing you guys.
Yeah, and here's the thing. I'm just being real right now, right? We're actually being upfront about it. Everybody that does a contest does that with that intention, you know? We're just being upfront about it. You know?
They're like, hey, like it, subscribe, and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah.
See, but, you all know what we're doing. We're just telling you.
Yeah, see, Showan, he's like, hey, I follow you on everything, so you're good to go.
Good to go.
Yeah. Nothing hurt. And once you've done it once, you're not going to have to do it again for the next contest that we put out.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because basically what we do is when we pick a winner, we pick by algorithm, and then we just check to make sure that they're subscribed to all three of those channels.
Yep.
So there, if you guys didn't catch the subtlety there, if you win, we're going to check to make sure that you're subscribed to all three of our feeds.
If you're not,
it goes on to the next guy. So make sure you check off those boxes, and then you never need to check them off again. Then all you have to do is watch the podcast like normal and leave a comment. If you had done this last contest, you wouldn't have to be doing it now.
Yes. I like that. So, yeah. Again, video coming tomorrow with all the details.
The last one was the Sonic statue, right?
Sonic statue.
Yep, we gave away Sonic Mania. Before that, I know during Metal Gear Solid 5 time, I gave away a copy of Metal Gear Solid for PC and a copy of my book. We gave away a copy of Gravity Rush 2, which was for our special. So, yo, man, jump in there.
And you know what? Just for the hell of it, there's going to be a second winner too, man. Number two will get a free $20 card of their choice, PSN, Xbox, whatever, Steam.
Whoa.
You know, why not, man? We got to give you guys love. You know what I'm saying?
Double it down. All right, cool.
Yeah, well, our money came. We got our money coming in. We're sharing the love with you guys.
Yep.
Yeah, there you go.
That's what it's
before we pay anybody on the panel.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, because YouTube finally decided to give us our money. You know, it's crazy, man. So, yeah, man. Okay, so that's going to do it for us. So, again, tomorrow we're going to have that video up for you guys and, you know, check out all the details and shit. So, thank you for watching and listening. Subscribe to Throwdown on SoundCloud, iTunes, and YouTube. Follow us on Twitch, Mixer, Twitter, and Facebook at Throwdown Show. Links are located in the description below. Once again, our show is Tony Polanco. Tonight's joined by Emilio Lopez.
I'll see you later, guys.
Carlos Romero.
Laters, everyone.
Brett Murdoch.
Deuces.
Adam Vale.
Black Ops 3 multiplayer sucks ass.
And Brian Manjoma.
If common sense is so common, then why are so many people without it?
Deep thoughts. All right, man.
It's only select agents.
Yeah, right? All right, man. We'll see you on Monster Hunter tomorrow night, man. Later.
Later, guys.
Later, everyone.